Turn to John 15. I want you to look at John 15, 13. That's the verse that I chose to be the scripture verse. If you take notes, I've entitled it The Unknown Soldier, The Unknown Soldier. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Before we look at our message this morning or hear it, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bless it. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for all of the Word of God. All of it is inspired. We thank you, Lord, that you've chosen a people out of this world to be your people, your elect people. And Lord, as we gather together and worship you and praise you and preach your word, we ask you, Holy Spirit, as the word goes out, to edify us with it. For some, Lord, edification, give us a better understanding of it. Help us to find applications with it, Lord. Help us with all these Bible verses to use them in our life. And again, if there's one listening who doesn't know Christ as Savior, we pray, Lord, that you might even convict their hearts. You might help them, Lord, to see the truth so that that truth can set them free. We also ask you, Lord, to bring comfort where it's needed, strength where it's needed. And Lord, all we ask, all this for your glory and your good. In Jesus' name, amen. Greater love has no more than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. I chose our text this morning not even to preach on it because it's pretty straightforward, but I chose it to use because it symbolizes what Memorial Day is all about. It symbolizes sacrificial faith. And each year at the last Monday of May, America, we celebrate Memorial Day. It's a national holiday. We use this national holiday to do different things, of course. We have picnics, family gatherings, but it's a national holiday to honor all those who fought and died for our country. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington Cemetery is the focal point of our celebration on Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a time of reflection, or it should be a time of reflection and gratitude to those unknown souls who sacrificed their lives so we can live free, live in a country that's free. I say that with a little trepidation, as you all know, because we know the political scene in America is not the same as it was in World War I, World War II. It's not the same at all. The country's not the same. It changed. Some say it changed for the better, some don't. Whatever the change is, we know this. The change came because Jesus Christ is King, and he ordained everything that would happen, including our country and the people who lost their lives trying to make it free. And I think it's fair to say that in the spiritual realm, just like in the physical realm, there's a mirror there. We also celebrate Memorial Day spiritually, don't we? But our Memorial Day is a lot different than the one America celebrates. First of all, in the spiritual realm, Memorial Day isn't a once-a-year event. It's not just one time that we celebrate it. It's a continuing event. For example, every day we memorialize the unknown soldier in our heart for sacrificing himself for our sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father sacrificed the unknown soldier, we call him, because he is the captain of our salvation. He sacrificed him for each and every one of his children. And we memorialize the unknown soldier every single month in our church by celebrating the Lord's Supper. Some churches do it weekly, some do it monthly, some do it once a year. but it's a memorial to Jesus Christ. It's an ordinance. Jesus said in that ordinance, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's what we're doing at when we have communion. It's a wonderful celebration of life. Even though he died, he resurrected, he atoned for our sins. So we memorialize him for the time that we have the communion table. The death of the unknown soldier has made us living memorials. Did you know that? You're a living memorial. And we celebrate the blessings that we have in him. Each and every one of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are the living memorials of him. And we have in him all the blessings. Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3, Ephesians 1:3, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, without exception, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and has chosen us in him," the next verse says, "and chosen us in him before the worlds were formed." Let's just park here for a second and think about that verse. Heavenly blessing, all the heavenly blessings are ours. All we have to do is walk in his will and pray and ask him, "Lord, deliver me. Lord, heal me. Lord, change my attitude. Lord, help me get through this day." All we have to do is that. And the Bible says that those blessings that come from heaven belong to each and every one of his children. And then he says in the next verse, "chosen in him before the worlds were formed." Do you understand that God is previous? Everything is already done. You and I were chosen him before there was a universe. There was just God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they had a meeting and they said, let's bring Tony into our family. Let's bring Angel into our family, and Tom and June and David and Brian and all of the people. Let's bring them in. You're going to have to pay for them now. He said, okay. Another feature of America's Memorial Day is the remains in the tomb come from several different people. They're not all one person. They're remains from different people, unknown remains. They represent, as such, they represent unidentified warriors, soldiers, sailors, Marines, Coast Guardmen from World War I, World War II, and the Korean War. In the spiritual realm, there's only one person. Only one person was buried, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb, not in a great cemetery, but in a borrowed tomb. He was unknown to his people, and he is the unknown soldier to the entire world, even today. I have a proof verse for you. If you're in John, go to chapter 1. This is a very interesting couple of verses. John 1. I want you to read with me verses 10 and 11. John 1, verses 10 and 11. It says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him." Jesus made the world, and he was in it. "Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." What is the difference today? Doesn't the world know him? Isn't the world dead to Christ? Isn't Israel dead to Christ? No difference. And you know what's really crazy about that? The unknown soldier didn't come to just fight for a country. He didn't just come to fight for a certain people. He came to free the world from the bondage of sin. And I think I told you last week, before I was saved, I didn't know I was in bondage. You probably didn't know you were in bondage, but we were. And you know the proof of it? We never came out of it. We never came out of it. And he came to fight the battles that would free the world, not just the country, not just the people, the world. And he made the world, and they did not know him. He went to his people, and they did not know him. That's what's crazy about it. Now turn to Luke 4:18. There's an interesting thing here. This is the declaration and the objective of war that he gave when he began his ministry. Luke 4:18. He said, this is Jesus, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed. That was his whole mission. That was his objective. And that was a declaration of war. He was coming to do that. And if you read a little further down, when he told them that and a few other things, they wanted to stone him, but he hid himself so they couldn't do it. And the war that he declared, he didn't declare it on man. He declared it on sin. And he faced battles on the ground, didn't he? He fought on the ground after fasting for 40 days. The unknown soldier battled the devil in Matthew 4:1-11. He tempted him. He said, if you're the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. And what did Jesus say? He said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then he told him to jump off the tower and he would give him everything he could see. And he said something else. I don't recall how he responded to it. But he did. He didn't do it. And he was so weakened from that battle, angels were sent from heaven to strengthen him. In the Gerasenes, he battled and cast out a legion of demons that were in the man. Remember that? Mark 5:7-13. And not only did he fight on the ground, he fought battles or faced battles on the water too, didn't he? In Mark 4:37-40, vicious storm threatened to sink the boat. He was sleeping, and the disciples woke him up and said, Lord, we're going to drown, paraphrasing it. And he said, why didn't you stop it? Where's your faith? So he battled. He battled the storm. And he battled unbelief, and that's really brought out in Matthew 14:28, with Peter walking on the water. Jesus, he was walking on the water, and they saw him, and he said, it is I. And Peter said, if it's you, let me walk out to you. And he said, come. And he kept his eye on Christ and started walking, but then he thought his feet hit the water, and he looked down, and it was all over. Jesus had to save him. You of little faith. He said to those disciples, and these are people that ate with him, that slept with him, that watched him turn water into the finest wine, watched him give sight to the blind, legs to the lame. They saw him do it. And they had little faith. And the unknown soldier also fought against the evil powers in the air. He battled and defeated the prince of power of the air, Ephesians 2:2 says, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's where we all were at one time, sons of disobedience. And a proof verse that he defeated him is found in Luke 10:18. Here he says, after the 70 came back, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He defeated him. But the greatest battle, by far, the greatest battle the unknown soldier fought was death. And he fought that on the battlefield of Golgotha. His battle plan was very simple. Listen, He allowed his enemies to capture him and torture him. They betrayed him with a kiss. He knew that was coming. They tortured him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They gave him 39 lashes, tore up his back, and put a robe on it and let it sit there for a while. Then they ripped it off. Then they made him carry a cross to Golgotha. Then he allowed, again, he allowed them to nail him to the tree and then raise him up on that cross. He allowed it. He then, when that happened, he was ridiculed and mocked by a large crowd. If you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us. He was mocked and ridiculed. But God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. And before his Son would taste death, he gave him one last gift. God the Father gave him one last gift. One man, one thief repented. And he asked the unknown soldier to remember him. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise." Then about noon, after that event, about noon, all the sins of mankind were placed on the unknown soldier, and the lights went out. Turn to Matthew 27, 45. I want you to read this. It's a testimony about the lights going out. Matthew 27, 45 says, "From the sixth hour, there was a darkness where? Over all the land until the ninth hour." I want you to think about that. It took the Almighty God 3 hours to punish his Son, the unknown soldier, with the full force of his wrath for you and I. Think about that. 3 hours to punish him for our sins. In that time frame, 3 hours, the sins, past, present, and future, of all God's chosen people were paid for in full forever. Paid in full. You look downstairs at the cross. When I put that thing up, I thought, I'm just not going to put a cross up with the Ten Commandments. What's the key to it? It says paid in full, and it's in red. Paid in full. 3 hours. I tell you that because I want you to understand that when we sin against God, we don't think about those 3 hours that he had to suffer for us. And he did. Each and every one of us he suffered for. That's an incredible thing to think about, that somebody loved you enough that they were willing to sacrifice themselves, have pain inflicted on them because they loved you that much. When the Bible says God is love, what more proof do you need than that? All the sins were forgiven. Since we're turning in our Bible, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to read with me verses 13 and 14 because they're the proof verse about sins. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. Paul writes, "And you," speaking to the Colossians, "who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him." You were dead. We were all dead. Didn't know it. Spiritually speaking, we were dead. And it goes on to say, "having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt." That's the debt we all had that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. When he said stood against us with the legal demands, it simply means that the penalty for sin is death. Romans 6:23 says the penalty of sin is death. And he paid that penalty of death for you and I. We have trouble. We have trouble loving. You know that, right? Human beings don't love very well. Ever since the fall in the garden, all our love is just mostly, if you're unsaved, it's all carnal love. Love that has to have a beginning and will have an end. It isn't unconditional. It's all based on conditions. When you think about what Jesus Christ did at the Battle of Golgotha, when you think about what he had to suffer for you to be sitting here this morning with the mind of Christ, so that when you read this book, it's not just a book of mores or morals. It's a spiritual book of truth that never changed for thousands of years. This book never changed. There's no yearbooks that come with this. There's no upgrades to this. Why? Because the truth doesn't need to be upgraded. And he came to give you the mind so you'd understand this book and read this book and then be able to take what you learned and use it in your life. That's what he did at the Battle of Golgotha when he died. That's what he did. And we have to ask ourselves the question. None of us are worthy of it, by the way. None of us. There's no human being that ever lived, no matter who they were, Paul included. Nobody is worth what he did because of who he was. But he did it because he loved us. And all he asks in return is found in John 14, 15. He said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. That's how simple love is with God. He did that for you, and all he asks you to do is to love him enough to listen to what he says and do it. And you know what? I have searched this Bible for almost 30 years. I have never found one thing in here, Old Testament or New Testament, that's bad for me. Everything in this book is good. Everything in this book makes me a better human being. Not just a Christian, but a better human being. And it all came because he met the legal demands of the law, which said the wages of sin is death. He met that command for you, Vinny. Angel, he met it for you. Libby, Brian, Tony, he met it and he paid it. It's done. Never to be paid again. Never. So that was his plan all along. He was born to die. That ultimately was his plan. First, he revealed himself. They didn't know him. Then he knew he had to die. And that's what was the plan. And I would remind you, I used the word, he allowed his enemies to capture him. He didn't have to. He allowed them to nail him to the tree. And he allowed them to do all of those things. He was the creator. He didn't have to do that. At any point, he could have stopped. Said, you know what? No more. We're done. But he was thinking of you, Jerry. Wendy. He was thinking of his people. He wasn't thinking of himself. That's unconditional love. It's love projected to others. And then about the ninth hour, Matthew 27:46. Matthew 27:46 tells us about the ninth hour, the unknown soldier cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? So many people get that wrong. What they reveal is they reveal the weight and the punishment he felt when he took our punishment for all of our sins. It also reveals the profound sense of separation he felt from his Father, who sent him to fight and save a people for his name. The profound sense of separation. They were never separated. And then finally, when everything Jesus had come to do was done, with great faith and trust, he prayed with a loud, victorious voice in Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. He died. Roman soldiers came. They didn't break any legs. They thrust a spear in his side to make sure he was as dead as a human being can be. Now, if that was the end of the story, what I just said was the end of the story, the Battle of Golgotha would be like any other battle with any other war hero. But it's not. The unknown soldier I'm talking about, he wanted to die. That was his goal, was to die. He had one last battle to win, and that was victory over death. So what'd they do? They took his body down from the cross and placed a lifeless body in a borrowed tomb. That's what they did. Didn't have time to embalm him. They put some cloth on his face, or cloth for his face, and some other cloth. Then they put him in a borrowed tomb from a rich man, the Bible says. And then they sealed the tomb's entrance, and to make sure nobody would mess with him, because the Jews were very afraid somebody was going to say that he resurrected, because he said he would, they placed a Roman guard in front of the tomb and to keep it secure. Now, what most people don't understand is that if you were a Roman guard and your duty was to protect that organ, and you would spend the night there, a squad, or they call it a quad. There were four Roman, generally a platoon was like four. They had four Roman soldiers, all armed. They had a campfire. They stood there. Nobody went near that tomb. And you know why? Because if they let anything happen to that tomb, they'd lose their life. They'd be executed. So you know they were keeping their eye open. No sleeping on a job. 3 days later, I think it was Mary Magdalene came. They went to him. She went to him, finish the embalming or to get it started. She walked into the tomb, and the tomb was empty. You see, America celebrates a tomb that has bones in it. Heroes' bones, I might add. Men and women who died protecting our country. And they won the wars, didn't they? We won World War I, II, sort of with Korea. And those people gave their lives, and their remains lay there. And we honor them. We memorialize them with Memorial Day. But in the spiritual realm, the tomb was empty. That's what makes it different from all other tombs, from all other heroes. The tomb was empty. He had resurrected. He was no longer there. All they found in that tomb was a folded face cloth very neatly on a bench and strips of cloth they used to wrap his body. But his body was gone. It wasn't there. You see, the only way our unknown soldier could defeat death was to taste it for himself. And because he was sinless, death had no claim on him. Had no claim on him. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He had no sin, so death had no claim on him. And he did that so that death would have no claim on you and I. He did that so that we would know that as he resurrected, we will resurrect with him. That's the Memorial Day we celebrate. The empty tomb, the unknown soldier, nobody knew him. And we didn't even know him until when? Until he opened our mind and gave us the mind of Christ. Then we saw who he was. But until then, we were as blind to him as the world is. The empty tomb. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. He tasted death so we wouldn't. I mean, I could go home with that. Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, what? Might taste death for everyone. You got it? Your death was his death. You won't suffer it because he did. That's what Memorial Day is about in the spiritual realm. Celebrating. We won't have to taste death. The tomb was empty. He paid the price. We celebrate his empty tomb, his victory over the world, his victory over death, and his victory over all evil. That's what we celebrate. That's the continual Memorial Day we, that is all believers, celebrate as Christian soldiers every day. So you see our text, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You see, that memorializes the self-sacrifice that people made for America, but for God made for the world. The salvific message isn't just for America, it's for the whole world. The people in World War I, II, and Korea, and all the armed force conflicts that we've ever had, they fight for a country. Jesus Christ fought for the world. He fought an enemy far greater than any man, any missile, any nuclear option. He fought sin, which is eternal. I had the privilege to talk to somebody this past week. They were having some difficulties at home. They were the object of a demented husband's wrath. And I had the opportunity to give them some advice about people to see that might help her. But then I told her, I said, I must tell you this, because she doesn't know the Lord. I told her, I said, although right now you're feeling pain that you think is unimaginable, I tell you with great love in my heart for you, that if you leave this world without Jesus Christ, the pain you'll suffer in hell forever will make this look like the most pleasurable part of your life. And it will be. And I gave her 1 John to read, and I told her, you read 1 John, read it for a week. Read one chapter a week and put your name in there and see how that lines up with your life. And if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know the unknown soldier, if you don't know that the tomb was empty, you do now. And you know that God the Father said, for he loved, so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel message, Jeff. That is the gospel message to the whole world. It doesn't matter where you live. Geography doesn't matter in the spiritual realm. That's the gospel message. And if that's you and you haven't come to know the Son, if you look back down a little further down in the gospel of John, in verse, I think it's verse 36b, it says, he who does not believe the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. And brother or sister, whoever you are, here or online, if that is the case, no matter what's going on in your life now, the pain you feel is nothing compared to what it'll be like in hell or the lake of fire. And the crazy thing about that is all you have to do is tell God that you're sorry. All that you have to do is just open your mouth, open your heart, and say, Lord Jesus, I sinned against God and God alone, and I want you to forgive me. I don't want to taste death. You tasted it for me. Come to me and save me. That's all you got to do. And if you look through the Bible and the New Testament and Jesus in Jesus's ministry, nobody was turned away. The Canaanite woman who had the issue of blood, she wasn't turned away. The Roman centurion, he wasn't turned away. And he won't turn away from you. All you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you've offended God, and that you want to make it right. You want to ask him to forgive you. You want to tell him you're sorry. Now, let me ask you a question. Isn't that something we teach our kids to do? Isn't that so simple? And imagine the consequences if you don't do it. Imagine. It's forever. You know, people, somebody asked me if God is in hell. Of course he's in hell. He's everywhere. He's past tense, but he's everywhere. Does not Jesus have the keys to hell? Of course he does. If you don't want to go there, all you have to do is acknowledge you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, every Sunday I say the same thing. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13 says it all. Nobody will reject. God will reject nobody who comes to him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if that's you, you call me or see me, and I'll show you in his word how he tasted death for you. He took your punishment, and how he wants you to be with him in heaven. So you see about our text, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And the spiritual takeout for my brothers and sisters in Christ is this: go home rejoicing and remember to celebrate the life, the death, and the resurrection of our unknown soldier. He did that. He went to that cross. He suffered what he did, all part of his plan. He tasted death for you, and he did it so that you would live better now and forevermore. Take that home. Use it in your life and share it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the blood of Christ. It can never be said enough what that blood did. You can never be praised enough for what you did and what Jesus, you can never be praised enough for all that you went through for us. God, thank you. And do pray for the lost that heard this, that you might use it to prick their heart and open their minds and eyes to the truth, so that they too might never have to taste death. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And we thank you and praise you for it all. In the matchless name of our unknown soldier, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.